Penny, Chris, Mr. Atwood, hello, Mr. Demrick, hello, Mr. Harris, hello. We are all present and accounted for. Okay, I'm going to put everyone on mute except for the village board right now, and then we will get through our meeting. Okay, everyone, we will call our meeting to order. Thank you very much for everyone being part of our meeting tonight. This is the Village Board meeting for Tuesday, May 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo. We will call our meeting to order. Thank you, Debbie. One second, please. We'll call our meeting to order. We'll call Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich. Trustee Genrich, can you hear me? You seem to be muted. Right, I'll try it again. Now you're muted, so try and unmute. I'll try it. How's that? No. You might want to dial in on your phone. Or are you on your phone? Okay. Okay. Well, we know you're here. And so I said, Genrich, Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Thank you. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Was on Raptor here. Thank you. All present and accounted for. We've been asked to move up item number 17 to the front, up to the front, so we will move it up to right, the first item under new business. So we'll make that 6A and make the current 6, 6B. Are there any other modifications to the agenda? Hearing none, do I have a motion to accept the adopt the agenda as modified?
Move to adopt the agenda as modified.
Thank you. Trustee Sampson.
Second.
Goodbye. Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcement. There is a Plan Commission meeting to be held on May 18th instead of the regularly scheduled meeting that was scheduled for the 25th, and that is being held on the 18th due to the Memorial Day holiday. Excuse me. There will be an open book for the Board of Review and for your assessment. One second, please. Who just joined with a phone number of 8259? Is that Mr. Genrich?
Yes, it is.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
And Jim, if you could turn the volume off of your computer, like if you turn it down real low. Thank you. Okay. So there is a notice of assessment roll will be open for examination, so people will be able to examine the assessed value of the properties starting on June 2nd at the Alloway Village Hall, 1900 Libel Street, during the regular office hours. And then on June 9th, from 8 to 10, there is schedule the Board of Review shall hold its first meeting on June 9th to review the appointment. And any questions? Next item. The Village of Allen, for the third consecutive election, captured the coveted Gold Division, or the Voter Challenge Trophy, in the Gold Division category. That is municipalities with a population of 10,000 or more. And Alloway represented itself by having a 50.5% voter turnout. So congratulations to all who live and vote in the Village of Alloway, and to the many village staff and volunteers who helped pull that off. Do we have any other announcements?
Just one other.
Yes, Trustee.
Tonight is Professional Municipal Clerks Appreciation Week, so we want to, I think, acknowledge the work that Debbie and Carrie do along with the rest of the village staff, because I know they would definitely point out that they can't do their job with everybody else, but we want to make sure we say thank you to them for the work they do throughout the year.
Thank you very much, and yes, thank you very much to Carrie.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie. And thank you, Matthew. Thanks for bringing that up. Brad.
Yes, I do have an announcement. With the cancellation of the Alloway Fest at Green Isle Park, the Alloway Optimist Club would still like to provide the opportunity for individuals to bring their old car to the community and just take a drive around the community. Trying to get a flavor from the board if that is something you might see as an okay thing. They have no idea how many they might get. Might be two, could be 100. But they're not going to gather. They're just going to take a drive to the community to try to honor the 30-some years of Alloway Fest taking place.
Okay.
I think it'd be fantastic.
It'd be a great idea.
Yeah, me too. I think it is a nice way to keep that open, like, this is what we do on that day.
Yeah. If you have 100 cars, you may want to figure out a route.
I will stay in touch with them, and then I'll share the information with the board.
Thank them for their excitement.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Any other announcements from village board members? Any other announcements from staff? Hearing none. I'm reviewing staff right now. Okay, we will move on for the public comment. Debbie, we didn't receive any public comment, did we?
We did have the one from Russ. Whoops.
You should have received one.
I received that one letter, but I'm going to read that into the record on.
Okay.
On the when we're on that item.
Okay.
And I tell you what, I will open it as long as we're here. I'm going to try this. Okay, I've unmuted everyone. And is there a village resident who wanted to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will once again mute everyone, but thank you for being here. One mute. This is fun. I think you all, village board, you can also unmute yourself. But. Okay, moving on to action item number 5, action regarding water tower repair project, contract notice of award. 5A is to nullify the contract notice of award to Water Tower Clean and Coat and retain the bid security. And we will deal with that first. So, Sean, would you like to walk us through?
Sure. On the 3rd of March, the Village Board had awarded the water tower repair project to Water Tower Clean and Coat. Shortly after village board approval, the village's consultant Strand Associates sent out the notice of award to Water Tower Clean and Coat, which indicated to the contractor that they had 15 days to come up with the insurance policies as specified in the contract, to come up with the bonding, performance and payment bonds, and to sign contracts. We had given Russ Feeney, owner of Water Tower Clean and Coat, more than 15 days to provide those documents. Unfortunately, he was unable to provide us the insurance policies as required by the contract. We had given him numerous attempts. We had we all wanted to see him succeed. He has done work for the village in the past. He's done a good job. And in the end, he wasn't able to provide the insurance needed for this project. To make sure that what we were asking for in the contract was not unreasonable, I did contact the village's insurance agent. I had her review the requirements as set forth in the contract, and I had also had her look at the policies that he had provided. She had gotten back to me and indicated that what we were asking for was not unreasonable. It was standard for this type of work, this type of project, and had warned me not to accept the policies that he had provided. It's time to move on now. He's exhausted all of his resources. He's unable to provide the insurance that is required by the contract, and we're at a point now where we need to nullify the awarded contract to Water Tower Clean and Coat and move forward with the second low bidder. Are there any questions?
I'll tell you what, I'll read Mr. Feeney sent an email to add to the public comment section, but we'll add it to this, so I'll just read it into the record. I know Russ is on the phone. I'll unmute us. But Russ, if you just hold on with any comments until you're asked, if that's okay. It says, Dear Alloway Village Board, I will make this brief as possible. I asked Ms. Bainan to send each of you a copy of the letter I wrote to Mr. Jean, explaining my situation regarding the difficulty I had in obtaining the required insurance documents for Webster Street Reservoir Repair Project. I hope each of you had time to read it. In that letter, I did my best to convey the fact that the Water Tower Clean and Coat, Inc. has always maintained insurance policies and coverages that have been good enough for hundreds of municipalities, including Alloway, as recently as March of this year, when we took care of a leaking ceiling crack in the Vandy Hay Reservoir for you. We put the best interest of Alloway first and foremost last year when performing several reservoir inspections for the village. Our insurance was sufficient then as well. We went out of our way to negotiate an emergency plan approval with the DNR in order to get repairs done and then get a time extension so we could make the repairs and spare Alloway the trouble of being written up for DNR significant deficiency. My point is, we believed we could work out any insurance details on the Webster Street project, as we have always done in the past. This time it was not to be. In my letter, I explained the problems associated with the stay-at-home order and getting through to underwriters, agents, and even staff at Strand Associates at times, in order to purchase the additional coverages, policies, and get specified accord documents. The last page of my letter outlines the expenses we incurred trying to satisfy the insurance requirements. We did our best to fulfill the requirements, We have example after example of always keeping the best interest of Alloway at the forefront, and now our little business is going to suffer a loss in tens of thousands of dollars because we cannot provide the specific insurance documents asked for in the 269-page contract document provided by Stranham Associates for this small project. I hope you will consider our request to return the bid bond, which was made in the form of a certified check. It would mean the world to our business in the current economic situation we are all in. Thank you very much for your time. Russ Feeney, Water Tower Clean and Coat, Inc. So Mr. Feeney is requesting that the $8,000, so however much that was, to be refunded to him. So in terms of discussion, Sean, what you said that it's been Russ and his company have been good to work with, right?
That is correct.
They just weren't able to come up with the insurance requirements that we have and that our insurance company said we shouldn't settle for any less, right?
Correct.
Okay. Are we going to incur any costs by going on to the next vendor?
Yes, we will. We have and will incur additional expense. I've talked to the consultant working on this project, Strand Associates. They have indicated that the village will receive a change order in the amount of $3,750 for the additional effort. The time spent reviewing the insufficient insurance submittals, and the effort it will take in the near future to evaluate the second low bidder's insurance and bonding that they'll have to provide with the signed contracts.
Okay. Any questions for Sean from the board?
Quick question. The award was made on the 3rd, and there's 15 days from that point forward, correct?
15 days from the date on the notice of award submitted to the contractor. 15 days, and we gave him additional time because of his struggles with his insurance to provide the insurance policies required by the contract.
Okay. Thank you.
Sean, I have a question. If you could just assure me that our requirements haven't changed. As I read it, Strand is new to us in this role with this project. This is not something that they're responsible for. Anything that we were asking for in the contract came from the village, or is customary with what other municipalities do?
It was customary with what other communities use for this type of project. The Strand had asked if when they were putting together the spec manual, it asked if we wanted to use the village's insurance policies, and I didn't think that the insurance that we require on our reconstruction projects were a good fit on this project. So I had asked Strand to use what they typically would use for this type of project. And they put out, I shouldn't say hundreds of these contracts, but a lot of them. So they had used the standard insurance requirements for this type of project.
Okay. Thank you.
And you said you also reached out. Yeah, go on, Penny.
I just wanted to ask Sean if the insurance requirement for the village for this project is different from the one that Mr. Feeney used last time.
Those are smaller projects. Those weren't bid projects. A lot smaller. The reservoir inspection that he did for us last year, the total cost of that was $8,000. The repair that he made at the Vanda High reservoir, small crack, I think the cost of that was $1,500.
I understand. Thanks, Sean.
I want to also let everybody know that I had also asked the village's insurance agent to review what DePere required for insurance, and I wanted her to review that to what we had in the contract, and she came back and indicated that the insurance requirements that DePere uses are more restrictive than what we had in this contract. I wanted to make sure that we weren't being unreasonable.
Right.
But I had our insurance agent look into it.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Okay. I, especially during these times, I personally would, I'll make a motion and I'll discuss it. I'll make a motion that we nullify the contract notice of award to Water Tower Clean and Coat Inc. And I also suggest that we return any portion of the bid security deposit that is not spent on us incurring the cost. So the everything except the $37.50. I'm sorry, that was seconded by Lynn?
Lynn.
Okay. Okay. Discussion. The reason I'm picking that is because Russ has had a company that serves our village well, and Sean has acknowledged that he has done a good job for us, and we'd like to do work with him in the future. And I think that's great to hear. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to come up with the insurance requirements and the time frame required. And as a result of that, we're going to have to not start square one, but we are going to incur costs by going on to another vendor. So I personally think that that's a fair way to take care of things and give Russ a little bit of his money back. Any other questions?
I would agree with that. That would have been my solution as well.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion from our members?
I'd just like to point out, thank you, Mr. Fitting, for sending the letter, and also thank you, Sean, for doing the due diligence and following through with trying to do everything that you could. So.
Okay, I know this is a little different than normal, but we're in a different world. Russ, is there anything you'd like to say?
I'm not sure if my microphone is open.
You're open.
Just thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. I do have to say one thing about the DePere insurance. We just bid on a job there, and we're awarded that. And it is night and day different, the requirements, versus what I went through trying to attain these Accord documents specifically for Strand Associates. It wasn't hours or days, it was weeks of work trying to accommodate, and unfortunately it didn't work out. This is the first time for our company ever in 20 years of work that I've seen anything like this, so I'll leave it at that. And again, folks, thanks for your time, and I'll tell you one more quick thing. Thanks again for all the work over the years that we've done for Alloway. We sure appreciate it.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Russ. Okay, so we have a motion on the table to nullify the contract with Water Tower Clean and Coat and to return any monies of the security bid in excess of $37.50.
Jim, can I jump in quick with a question for Sean? Both you and I, Sean, are on that Central Brown County Water Authority, and there was a lot of brave talk about how we were going to start bidding some of this stuff out as a package deal. Is that a real possibility at this time, sometime in the future? So if there's a next time, maybe we could get a group rate?
I always reach out to the other communities, and we often talk about what we have for upcoming projects. This is, somewhat of a unique project just to Alloway, but, on projects that that we all share, I look for every opportunity to join the bid work.
Yeah, well, I thank Mr. Finney for sharing his concerns about this, because if there is a red tape aspect to all this, that just makes all the better argument for something like the Water Authority to group bid and tackle things as a whole rather than piecemeal. It'll be easier on the contractors too, presumably. So thank you.
Can I add one more quick comment? This is Russ Feeney again. We just bid on and were awarded the Brown County inspection contract with DePere, Manitowoc, and those the big reservoirs up by Ledgeview. I know they haven't quite awarded it yet, but again, the insurance requirements for that project are what we typically carry, and that's how we were awarded that same project last year, where Alloway inspections were included in that. And again, I'll be quiet now so you can get on with your meeting.
Well, Russ, thank you very much. Okay, we have a motion to that I
think. Yeah, just one other comment here before. It seemed like you capped it at the $37.50. Sean, will there be any additional expense other than the $37.50?
We did have Hanaway review the agenda item on tonight's village board meeting. I also had to review what I had written up for staff report. So we'll get billed for that. Okay. But I don't anticipate any other charges, any other expenses.
Okay, I'll change my, we'll return any money to the company that we don't incur. Okay, anything left after the expenses that we incur as a result of it.
I think that's how you stated it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 5B, award contract to apparent low bidder, Mohelm Blasting and Coating. Sean.
Yeah, I'd like to move ahead with the second low bidder now, Mohelm Blasting and Coating, Inc. In the amount of $97,200, we have received their bidder's proof or bidder qualifications. We have internally reviewed those. They are acceptable. And I'd like to get started with your approval. Would like to go ahead and issue a notice of award to Mohan Blasting and Coating, Inc.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this item?
This is Lynn, so moved.
Second.
Seconded by Rob Atwood. Any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the contract with Mohelm Blasting and Coating, and a second for $97,200. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, on to the old number 17, new number 6A, petition from Wisconsin Medical Credit Union requesting site plan and design review for the construction of an office building at 1677 Southwestern Avenue, property just south of the Maldi Brewery, referred from the Plan Commission meeting. Mr. Fuller. I got you unmuted. You should be. Okay, you unmute yourself.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
All right. Well, this general location within the village should seem pretty familiar with everyone, although this is a new project. As mentioned, this site is just south of the New Zimbaldi Brewery. This site plan went before the Plan Commission last week, and the Plan Commission recommended approval contingent on staff comments being addressed and contingent on the canopy question being addressed as well. I spoke with the credit union this afternoon, and it sounds like they found a solution with the canopy. They were on the phone, but had to leave at 7, so Kurt might still be on the phone.
Let me open the line and just see.
Sure.
I see him.
And who, oh, Kurt? Yeah.
Kurt and Mark Rucamp was on the line, but I'm not sure if he left.
He's still there, too? Yeah.
Okay. So they might be on.
Okay, great. Okay, go on, Trevor.
So they might be able to explain that a little bit further, but all the other staff comments are pretty minor in nature, and I believe can be solved. After approval tonight.
Okay, thanks. Kurt or Mark, would you like to explain?
This is Mark with Alliance. Looking at the staff comments, we did come to a resolution for the awning or the canopy awning setback on the south side of the property. So I've already run renderings past the client, and I believe we're in agreement on how we can proceed with that. The other comments were very minor, like Trevor mentioned, a couple of little tweaks based on from the forester on the landscape plan, and the rest of the comments were I don't believe are very impactful really at all. There might be just a couple little things that we have to adjust informationally on our final submittal for the permits, but that would be about it.
Okay, so you don't see any concern of meeting all of the notes that they've made, the comments they've made?
No, the only one that I would bring up is, if you're familiar, I think our total site is only 60 feet wide, and we pretty much squeezed everything in. The only thing that's going to be a little bit, and I'm not sure what your standard is for the village, there was a request on there of possibly for the front 5-foot sidewalk area that we would not have that the cars wouldn't have the ability to park like over the edge of the sidewalk. We do have a walk path that would lead right out to the main sidewalk out on Webster Avenue, and I think that we're already kind of maxed out, that I don't think that we have the ability to back up our parking stalls into that common driveway. So, Trevor, if you want to touch on that at all?
Sure. I did speak with our road inspector on that. That's more of a recommendation and a requirement. So,
okay.
So,
I have a question.
Yes, Penny.
On the information I got from the Plan Commission, we may have had this also, but I didn't reprint it. It said the fire department to review the building and site plans further. Has that happened?
Yes, it has.
And they're fine?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, Mark, what is the solution that you've come up with for the canopy?
We can eliminate the column and shorten the length of the canopy as it extends toward the south property line, and we can pull that in just a little bit. We can still cover our drive-through effectively, but we would end up doing it with a decorative hanger rod awning. That would be the... Looking at options, that seems to be the most effective aesthetic way of being able to address it.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mark.
You got it.
Put you on mute just for a second. So, Trevor, anything else on that? So you're satisfied that all of the conditions have been met from the Planning Commission?
Yes, they all have been met or will be met prior. I don't have any concerns.
Okay, so any motion would just have to be contingent upon all of those conditions being met.
Correct.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve with all those contingencies met that were mentioned at the Plan Commission.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? I'll add to start the discussion. I think it's a beautiful building, gentlemen. I'm excited to see it in our village. Any other discussion? Last comment I'll make is thank you to Mr. Trevor Fuller for pulling this together. The big crossword puzzle that he's been playing with for a long time. I thank you for all your hard work. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. McCaffrey, Kurt, and Mark, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you all. Look forward to it.
Okay, let's get back to where we were. The old number 6, now 6B, action regarding resolution. We have a series of resolutions tonight thanking our many of our volunteers who have served on our committees. So I will read the entire resolution for our first member and then acknowledge each and every one of them in the action items after that. So, resolution 2020-09, Village of Alloway. Be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to thank Gary Strohan for serving on the Board of Appeals since April 21st of 2009, and to honor Mr. Strohan with a resolution and certificate of recognition of his excellent service to the community. Passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway this 5th day of May, 2020. 11 years. Thank you very much, Mr. Strohan. Do I have a motion on this item? Matthew, can you unmute yourself?
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Second by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. The next resolution is 2020-10, recognizing Mr. Bob Ferguson for serving on the Board of Ethics since July 1st of 2014. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Debbie, I just have one comment. Mr. Ferguson's name is spelled incorrectly on the resolution itself, but it's good on the certificate. It's just missing that. I think it's been fixed already. Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Resolution 2020-11. Honoring Mr. Jeff Irwin for serving on the Economic Development Committee since September 20th of 2011, and to honor Mr. Irwin with this resolution. Do I have a motion on that item?
I would like to make that motion.
Thank you, Trustee Dart. Do I have a second?
Okay. I'll second that one.
Trustee Sampson, any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Resolution 2020-12, honoring Bobby Fredericks for serving on the Historic Preservation Committee since December 7th of 2010. Do I have a motion on this item?
So moved.
Trustee Green, do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Dart, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Resolution 2020-13, honoring Mr. Lee Bushi for serving on the Parks and Rec and Forestry Committee since June 7th of 2011. I have a motion on this item.
I'd move to approve.
Thank you. Trustee Atwood, do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Dart, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We have Resolution 2020-15, honoring Mr. Howard Rott for serving on the Plan Commission since September 19th of 2012.
You skipped 11.
On this item.
I think you skipped 11.
I do. Thank you. Resolution 2020-14. Recognizing Mr. Bob Ferguson for serving on the Parks, Rec, and Forestry Committee since July 1st of 2014. Do I have a motion on that item?
Move to approve as well.
Thank you, Trustee Atwood. Seconded by.
Second.
Trustee Harris. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Resolution 2020-15. Honoring Mr. Howard Rott for serving on the Plan Commission since September 19th of 2012. I have a motion on this item.
I move to approve.
Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Resolution 2020-16. Recognizing Angela Kowalczyk Adrian for serving on our Plan Commission since May 19th of 2015. Do I have a motion on this item?
I move to approve.
Trustee Dart, do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Atwood, any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to all of our volunteers and committee members. We couldn't do it without you. Moving on to item number 14. We have a proclamation in appreciation and gratitude to poll workers and staff for service during the April 2020 election. As we know, this was a very difficult time, or a very difficult election, and our staff and volunteers and National Guard rose to the occasion and made Alloy proud. So we would like to honor all of those involved, and I will read this. It says, whereas voting is a precious American principle, a basic democratic right for our people, which should be protected, promoted, and practiced. And whereas, on our most recent election day of April 7th, 2020, the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic created unprecedented adverse health, planning, and logistical conditions for this democratic process. And whereas, regardless of this multitude of adversities, the Village of Alloway led all municipalities with a population over 10,000 with a 50.5% voter turnout. And whereas our village's polls were staffed by existing and new election inspectors, National Guard members, and village employees, all coming together to help serve this community in uncertain times. Staff in our village clerk's office provided tremendous leadership, demonstrated their commitment to executing a fair and accurate election, and used creative approaches to provide a safe environment for voters, poll workers, and village employees alike. And whereas staff members from all departments in the Village of Alloway demonstrated once again that they will rise to the occasion to support our community by building protective shields, assisting in the counting of record of absentee ballots, designing a staging area for residents to remain in their vehicle until it was their turn to vote, and by greeting voters with a smile to help them through an anxious time. And whereas the Brown County Health Department also helped provide guidance on the safest possible setup during this election under the parameters and circumstances available to our community, and whereas our village is truly grateful for each of these individuals who served at the polls or helped oversee the election process, as our community and country endure the difficult, challenging realities of this pandemic, the efforts of these individuals were noble and selfless and have not gone unnoticed. Now, therefore, I, James Rafter, Village, Alloway Village President, on behalf of the Alloway Village Board of Trustees and all Alloweans, do hereby offer our highest gratitude to the many poll workers, volunteers, and staff that helped uphold our democratic process during these unprecedented conditions. Passed and approved this May 5th, 2020. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Mr. Atwood, seconded by Trustee Dart. Thank you. Any discussion?
Just gratitude. Thank you, guys.
A great deal of gratitude. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'll just throw in very well written, Jim, and couldn't second that enough. This was an election with a lot of national attention, and it made me proud that we went to the lengths and did as well as we did, and very thoughtful, and again, keeping people safe, and just incredibly large voter turnout, given that there really weren't that many contested races. So just very impressive all the way around.
Good, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much to everyone. Item number 15, action regarding stray and impound animal shelter services agreement between the Village of Alloway and the Wisconsin Humane Society. Who wants to take that from the staff?
I can go ahead and get us started. This is just a renewal to our contract that we have. Monica's been working on it. It's pretty much identical to the other communities around here that Monica serves as the animal control officer. The idea is to break this up into a monthly payment, which would be equal to what we had paid last year for all impounding. So it's better budgeting-wise. I think it's going to work out just fine. And some changes were made. The initial one that was sent out, there was a couple little errors where Jim Genrick was the village president. And the amount of time to pay any invoices that are owed went from 10 days to 30 days. So I don't think there's anything else to really be concerned about. It's something we should have on a file, and it clears up all the uncertainties.
Very good. Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrick. Any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action regarding petition from Mound Associates, LLP, requesting site plan and design review for the construction of two apartment buildings at 3241-13 and 3245 Riverside Drive, the property just south of Advanced Eye Care Center and Compassus Hospice. Mr. Fuller, and I do know that we have some of our residents who are interested in this attending tonight as well, so at the appropriate time we'll open the floor. Mr. Fuller.
Thank you. So this project is, or this site is pretty familiar, I believe, to everyone here. Earlier this year, it received a conditional use permit to allow for apartments on the site. So the zoning is there, and now we're just looking at this, how the site lays out. The Plan Commission reviewed last week and approved contingent on having a meeting with neighbors regarding some of the landscaping buffers along the edge of the property line where it abuts residential properties. Some of staff comments, the Plan Commission also discussed the pedestrian issue or the pedestrian comment there, and we're okay with considering the existing driveway or the proposed driveway as a alternative to the pedestrian access, because there's only one access onto Riverside Drive, so it would be a less traffic, slower moving driveway. Okay. And then the exterior finishes, I spoke with a developer, and she has provided me with the exterior finishes. It's going to be brick and some LP smart board and some shaker style vinyl siding. She is here tonight, and she can elaborate that on that if I spoke incorrectly. But the vinyl is not allowed through by right through our zoning code, but is allowed if the village board approves it. Based off of her design, staff doesn't really have any concerns with allowing it. The lighting, Rena, will be addressed prior to building permit. And then many of the other issues in staff comments will be addressed prior to site construction. At the Planning Commission, there were, as mentioned earlier, there were some, there's a lengthy discussion regarding the landscape buffer along the residential sides of the lot, like east and the south sides, and those have been discussed at length. The developer is meeting the requirements that are spelled out in our ordinance, but I believe there might be some discussion on that further, and maybe some additional questions. The engineer is here today, as well as the developer on the line.
I'm going to I'm going to keep everyone muted just for now, but we will open this up for discussion. Something to add to that. I met with the Farrs, who are online tonight, today, and looked at the property between, or from their backyard to parents' property, and their concern over sight lines and losing a tree line from parents' property. Trees will come down, obviously, so they can they build their road and all of that. And it's all within the code. But since meeting with the Farrs today, I did a little homework and took a look at our ordinance and talked to Trevor and talked to Sean about trying to find a way to make everyone happy and live by the spirit of our ordinance. And the, I guess the question was asked or recommended, can a berm be built between the two properties? One, to create a buffer so that it shields the sound as well as the sight line. And the Farrs' neighbors have a berm, and the neighbor two doors down has a berm, and it serves that purpose. So they were hoping that that berm could be and I'll open it up in case I'm not saying it correctly, but basically to create a shield so that they're not looking into lights, because the road's going to run right to the back. The U-shaped road will run right to the back of the lot. And in our ordinance, we provide for landscaping, and I'll just read little bits of it. It says, general statement under landscaping, the Village of Alloway finds that it is in the public interest for all developments to provide landscape improvements for the purpose of complementing the natural environment, a bunch of other things, and then it says, screening and enhancing privacy and deadening sound. So that's a use for all of the landscaping. Further down in our, and for those of you who like reading code, it's section 475-95. And then when we scroll down and get to paragraph 9 under that, under buffers, it says that portion of the high density district C, professional office and residential district, or a high rise district, light industrial district, or highway business use district, which includes or is adjacent to a single or two-family residential development, shall have a landscape area of at least 6 feet wide, extending the full length of the business, industrial or multifamily district, and meeting the following minimum requirements. One tree per 35 linear feet, a fraction thereof, of the lot bordering single residential development, and two, a shrub, border, hedge, wall, fence, earthen berm, or other durable landscape barrier, or combination thereof, at least 6 feet high, but not exceeding 8 feet high, which is 90% opaque to site placed along the perimeter of such landscape strip, except in the front yard. And from what I understand, everything that's been submitted meets that criteria. But the residents are saying they don't believe that criteria resolves the problem. And so, because it won't be high enough to block the sight line. My understanding that the apartment property will be raised 5 feet, approximately 5 feet, in the back part of the lot, thereby making it even higher to the farmer's property. And so the two properties are like this with a gully in between. So they're just asking that they can get a berm built to block that stuff. And when I was looking at the code and talking to Trevor, the next paragraph is entitled a variance. It says the village board may vary the buffer provision and minimum requirements following input from adjoining property owners and residents. Consideration of the nature of the business hours, operation, all of them. And says any waiver or variance granted here under is for the purpose of hitting all of our criteria of having that in the first place. So, and then I went and talked to Sean. And it's my understanding that in conversation with Ms. Clausen regarding the berm, she might be open to considering that depending on the cost. And so we tried to figure out how we might be able to get to that number. I talked to Sean about materials that a berm is made out of, and if you can use clean waste or what you would use to build that, and would the village have any of those resources at its disposal. And we happen to have a project going on in the spring or the summer to, I don't know if it's dredge, but pull a whole lot of clay out of the Bethel Baptist detention pond. And I could be wrong. I think Sean said it's 23,000 square yards. I mean, both. Sean, can you unmute yourself and tell me how much that was?
Yes, approximately 23,000 cubic yards of excavation. Yeah, no, it wouldn't be dredging, it would be excavating.
Excavating, okay.
That would be the area right behind the church, that field right behind the church.
Okay.
And it is, we had soil borings taken, and it's
clay. Okay. Be clay. Suitable for the construction of a berm.
Okay. So.
And what would we be doing with that clay when we removed it if, you know, it wasn't used for something like a berm?
Well, the contractor is required to dispose of it, and they may have some commitments already. They may have made some commitments with other landowners that are looking for fill. That is a pretty good fill. And we had put together that contract before we were aware that there was beneath our fill on the site, but I'm sure that they would be open to working with us. We're working with these folks here. I have reached out to Mao Associates and Tom Snyder, the engineer on this project, indicated that they're looking to bring soils into the site in the amount of 6,000 yards to bring it up. We quickly talked about the berm. If you add the berm to that grading plan, you're looking at a quantity of roughly 6,500 yards. So I'll be in touch with the pond contractor first thing tomorrow morning to let them know of this and get them in touch with Mao Associates.
Okay, thank you. So, I think what I'd like to do is, before taking a motion or asking for a motion, I'd like to suspend the rules and hear from the folks, see if we can come up with a resolution that would work for everyone and have everyone be super happy walking out of here. If we have to delay a decision based on that, because we don't have all the info, so be it, but at least we know how to move forward. So I'll accept the motion to suspend the rules. Trustee Green, I believe, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Okay, rules are suspended. Jamie or Chad, would you like to say anything?
I actually have my audio activated, but Chad's sitting next to me, so we can comment. So I appreciate the diligence in regard to the berm. I think it's consistent with the lot lines on this side facing the businesses. I do think as well, Chad and I both understand that what is proposed by the site plan does obviously meet the components necessary. I think, again, it does have to do with hours of operation, and with those being living residents, we're going to be home and active in our residence in the same hours, and so that really has driven our desire for a berm that is higher and that we can then put living structures on top of if it's a tree line of some sort to actually achieve privacy. I think the other question that we have for the developer, I think Karen, is kind of how that is shared potentially amongst our lot line or what that looks like. We, on our side of the lot line, do have established trees that we're trying to maintain so that we're not starting over from ground zero with establishing a tree line. So we are interested in what amount of space could be saved on the commercial side of the property.
Okay, great. Thank you, Megan. Karen or Tom, are you both? I know Karen's still on the phone, I believe. Is Tom on the phone still?
Yeah, this is Tom. I'm on the phone.
Okay.
Yes, and I'm here too as well. And this is Karen.
Okay, Karen. Well, thank you for being here. Would you like to share anything or any thoughts on this?
This is Karen. I'd like to make a comment.
Yes,
it would be my intent to, if I'm going to be spending, you know, as we know, the cost of landscaping is going to be significant. Mm-hmm. And I would like to add additional, if necessary, trees on my land. And rather than spend the money on someone else's land. And the point that I'm making is because I do want my property to be very lovely and beautiful for the residents. So that would include trees and shrubs and everything necessary to beautify this property. So that's, at this point, it's difficult to commit to do landscaping on someone else's property when we haven't even resolved all the landscaping on this site, as well as getting approvals for the construction and all the approvals. So it's difficult to commit at this time because it's so early. I do understand that the neighbors may want to do some landscaping, and it certainly makes sense, just as their neighbors did when, you know, like the neighbors to the north who created a berm. So I guess, you know, plus there's a question that I have. I understand I can't do any landscaping in the easement area, which, you know, is the eastern border of this site. So it makes it a little bit challenging to do landscaping when there's this easement along the east border. So I don't know if somebody can comment on that.
Trevor, do you have any comment on the easement?
I do, but maybe Sean is the more appropriate staff member. It's a stormwater easement.
Okay. Can you address that?
No, I don't know that we'd have a problem with bushes and trees. Tom Snyder from Mao Associates had asked if they could build a retaining wall within that easement area, and I said no structures would be allowed. I think a tree or a bush would be fine. If we have to go in and maintain that pipe, we don't want to have to remove and then try to put back a retaining wall that would never probably be a perfect in the eyes of whomever. So no retaining walls. If we had fill to that area, I don't see that being an issue either. I guess I'd have to look to see how deep that storm sewer system is, but in general terms, they're typically anywhere between 6 and 8 feet deep. So I don't see a few feet of fill would create any headaches if we have to come in and dig to repair the storm sewer.
Okay. Just a question. Would you be able to save money on the project if it was allowed not to put the trees back there, but rather to have a berm go right up from the back of your property? Would that save you money and still be able to provide a desirable space?
I can't answer that. Obviously a landscaping company would, and I'm working with two of them now on the entire site, but I can't answer that. I have no idea what, you know, trees versus a berm. I really don't know.
Hey, Jim, this is Chad. Do you mind if I make a comment?
Please do.
So just to give some perspective, I appreciate both Trevor and Sean and Tom and Jim all coming on site to getting the perspective of what this looks like from our backyard rather than a CAD drawing, and it's significantly different. The back end of the lot, the east end of the proposed apartment, is very low. It's kind of a slow area that collects water, which is why they have to bring in 5 feet of fill. So imagine looking out your back window and somebody building a driveway along the back of your property. That's essentially what's happening. So my argument would be, well, we can plant trees, but it doesn't block sound, light, you know, things of that nature. So that's the whole driving force of this for a berm.
I think as well it's going to be a two-story structure, and then we have a two-story home. So, you know, and anything that is at that level that's low without a berm in place, we'll just look over that at each other, like as we discuss with both teams that were on site. So Chad and I both fully recognize that it meets the requirements for the plan, but in function, we would continue to revisit this because the privacy wouldn't be maintained.
So, Sean, this is Karen again. In lieu of trees, could I put a berm in that easement area?
I would, yeah, I don't, again, it depends on you know, the height of it and how much fill you're going to add. I'm trying to bring up a drawing right now to look at the depth, but I don't think that will be an issue. I can take a look at this first thing in the morning and talk to Tom, but I don't have a problem with the berm, but I'll look into it and get back to Tom in the morning.
Yeah, because I would be open to, rather than a row of trees, perhaps the berm along my east lot line, which would then certainly, I think that would be something that the neighbors would enjoy, and as well as my residents would enjoy. So that could be something.
Karen, this is Megan. I would be the neighbor to the east. I think in order to achieve the actual privacy, we would need to consider trees on top of a berm.
And Megan, I'll have to ask you to just, I know it feels weird, but addressing me now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. okay. But your point is well taken. The main thing is, I think there's a way to, you know, deal with this and have a great-looking development from both perspectives and have people maintain their privacy. And I think that's important in this case, especially if we can help save money. You know, if we can help with fill and trees don't have to be purchased, I think we're trying to help everyone, which is a great win. Okay.
What if it was discussed? I don't remember hearing it. What range of height or what height of berm are we looking at?
The one, I think we have to figure that out. The berm that exists today is probably, I'm going to guess 15, 20 feet.
Okay.
So yeah, it's sizable, but
how wide is a berm that tall have to be?
I would guess that was probably about 20 feet or so. That's my guess after looking at it today. But obviously engineers would have to do that so it stays in one place. And like Sean said, you know, you have to be able to construct those correctly, but my opinion, if we can help in any way and get rid of some fill, that would be good. Okay, so we are looking for the request here for a motion.
Jim?
Yes.
There's just a couple of questions in the chat from the eye care clinic. Dr. Ann is asking some questions. I don't know if you see the chat coming through.
Yeah, I'm going to hold off on that just for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll be right with you, doctor. Well, you know what? As long as we still have the real estate, then I'll go ahead with that.
Okay, Dr. Ann, on the northeast side of the property, is there still considered to be an easement? I know where there was talk of a bike trail coming through between the ICE clinic and the apartment. I don't think there's any bike trail going behind the apartment, right?
That's correct, there is not.
That was a long time ago, yes. So it's just a stormwater easement, Sean?
Correct.
Okay, yep. Yeah. So, Dr. Ann, did that answer your question?
Yes.
If you're still on?
Okay. Yes, on the bike trail, she said.
She has one more question here. It says, how much lighting is going to be on the north side of these buildings?
We have a requirement for when properties abut commercial properties, they have to have, I think it's 0.5 foot candles are allowed to be at the property line. And then for residential properties, I believe it's 0.2 foot candles. That might seem obscure when talking about this, but it's very minimal lighting would be trespassing onto the properties. And all that will be, all the photometric lighting plans will be submitted with the building permit.
That's taken care of then.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll accept the motion to pick up the rules.
So moved.
Trustee Genrich.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Does anyone want to make a motion on this item? I can make one. I will make a motion to, one of two. I'll make a motion to approve the request contingent on the parties in the village coming to an agreement on the barrier or the blockage or whatever that could be. But the privacy fence, we'll just call it whatever that might end up being. But coming to an agreement, mainly to the, I have to say this, to the village's satisfaction, because I don't know if no one's ever 100% happy with the solution, especially when we're bringing two parties with different opinions. I will make a motion that as long as the village convinced that we've done the best we could to provide some barrier and site barrier for residents and protect their privacy, as well as facilitate the development of this apartment building, which we're all excited to have filled in. That's a long motion, but that's my motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Did someone second?
I did.
This is Lynn. I seconded. Thank you, Lynn. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Trevor, unmute yourself.
Just to clarify, Jim, is that the village board satisfaction or village staff satisfaction?
Seeing that we're approving it, I think we should probably. We can appoint you, and if the board's okay with that, I mean, what we want to do is make sure that people are protected and the privacy is met, and yet there's no undue burden on anyone. Simple test.
We're just looking for a miracle, Trevor.
Yeah. I have no doubt, just like we read in the proclamation earlier today, our staff will continue.
Yeah.
But I think our direction is clear. See what we can do to build a berm. We do work.
Someone needs to mute their phone.
Yes. I'm going to mute everyone. Let's do the motion again. I'm going to make a motion that we approve this item. Contingent? Yeah, I have to go with the board. So contingent on the parties coming to an agreement satisfactory to the board to resolve the privacy issues. Okay, let me unmute my board members.
Jim, I would just ask if we want a time limit on that. Do we want to look at it the next board meeting or?
Yeah, I'd like to see it done before then. I mean, yeah, I would like to have it come to the village board meeting.
Is that a realistic turnaround time?
Sean and Trevor. I would think it should, that should make it, we should make that our goal.
I believe, I think it would be. I just would rather make sure that we're not setting ourselves up incorrectly.
I'll take a look at it first thing tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Let's put it for next week. We want things to go ahead as quickly as possible.
I do have a question, and that is why we would, you know, this came forward, a plan for a property that's been vacant for quite a while, mm-hmm. and it's been some stops and starts,
yep.
and now we've got a good plan, and why would we not just table it for another 2 weeks? What is the advantage of voting on something with kind of a nebulous reference to developer landscaping that spills over a border, and it's got a lot of things to work out yet. What's the advantage of doing this tonight?
The advantage, in my opinion, the advantage is saying we approve the project, we want the project to go forward, and it is a good plan, there's just something missing. And if parties can come to an agreement and the village can be satisfied that we've done our best, then it goes. That way, we have to assume that'll be so the developer can start getting wheels in motion and that sort of thing.
Okay, and I would I may vote for it, and I may think that this is already is about as good as it gets. And even if we don't reach this higher satisfaction level for everybody involved, that we go ahead with it anyway. Do you get my question? I would.
You bring up a good point. You bring up a good point. If we pass it, we're going to have to vote on it again, right?
Fair enough, yeah.
I'll just leave it. I think we could do it either way. Let's just leave the motion in place. We still have to vote on it again at the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you for that. Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve contingent upon parties coming to an agreement and the village being satisfied, and they second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. I thank everyone, all parties involved. Thank you to Karen and SKD for wanting to build in the village of Alloy, and thank you to our residents for speaking up and bringing it to us. That's what we're here for.
I did see Debbie had a comment.
Thank you. Number 18, if approved, should be subject to review and approval by Brown County. Okay, that's later. That's on number 18. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Let's go on to number 18. All right? No. Yeah, because we did 17. Item number 18, action regarding preliminary CSM for AL-1419, AL-1420, and AL-1421. Excuse me. Trevor, is there anything? Or, no, there's nothing. Okay. So We have a motion to, I think for me, we just do a second person, but we'll do a motion to approve contingent upon the review and approval by Brown County. Do I have a motion to that? Oh, Brad, did you want to say
We do not have on the CSM, do we have to worry about the future sidewalk or the pedestrian crossing on that corner, Trevor?
Right. And Sean, maybe you can speak on that, but there is a suggestion from Department of Public Works to ensure that there's land available in the north or in the southeast corner for improvement to that pedestrian ramp along Derby and Webster. The future property owner, the individual that's doing the CSM, was amenable to that change. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, so the motion would just include that change, recommend to the county the approval with that addition.
But we can't demand it. We have to recommend it.
Right.
It's our request, right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Anyone want to give a motion on this item? Okay. How about a motion to approve contingent upon the approval and review of Brown County and making a request to Brown County to allow for sidewalk, correct? Brad?
Yeah, it's...
I think this project is wrapped, or this CSM is also wrapped up with a bigger project.
Right.
And so the sidewalk issue will be taken care of through a development agreement. However, by acknowledging that the CSM may change in the southeast corner with that pedestrian ramp there, I think just the acknowledging of it would be enough so that it doesn't have to come back before the village board.
Okay, then give us the wording you'd like us to approve. What would you like us to make a motion on?
I would just say approval, recommend approving the CSM for parcels listed with the inclusion of a defined, we know the dimensions, and I just don't have it, I believe we have the dimensions from Robert E. Lee, the defined corner, the southeast corner for the pedestrian access.
You know, guys, it says if we have any concerns or corrections, we should get back to them no later than May 12th. So should we just ask them to make a change?
We'll just have that included, the sidewalk easement. That's what it is. Correct, Sean? That's what we talked with county?
I've been discussing this with Robert E. Lee. We want the right-of-way, and we need a corner at the southeast corner so that in the future if sidewalk is constructed we can build a proper ramp at that intersection and not have to purchase right away from that property owner in the future. So Robert E. Lee was going to lay this out and draw in the triangular piece of property that we need at the corner there.
Why don't we let them do that and just tell Brown County we're asking for changes?
Right. Yeah. I think the triangle corner will be the village will acquire that through the development agreement and not separate from the CSM. But it does relate to this specific parcel. So that sidewalk or that triangle will happen. I think what we're looking for tonight is just acknowledging that this CSM is the first draft and may change to reflect that triangle portion.
And then wouldn't it be appropriate just to get back to them and try and get them to change it?
Normally yes. However, it's time sensitive because they would like to get the CSM approved, and they don't need the. They don't want to come back to the village board later this month. And again, the village board is just typically just accepts and place on file.
But you'd like to include the recommendation that land be available on the southeast corner for a pedestrian access, correct?
Well said.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Okay, I'll make a motion to accept and place in file and request that land be made available on the southeast corner for pedestrian access. Do I have a motion, or do I have a second on that?
Second.
Trustee Harris, any discussion? Thank you very much, Debbie.
You're welcome.
We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action regarding award Green Isle Park parking lot reconstruction contract. Chris.
Yes, this is phase one of two phases for the reconstruction of the asphalt parking lots and the roadway at Green Isle Park. Parking lots would be done this year, and roadway will be next year under a different borrowing cycle. Our bids came in, low bidder came in with the addition of the alternate one. The entire thing came in under what the engineering estimate was. Low bidder MCC had a base bid of $252,243.50 with their alternate of $75,654.13 for a total of $327,897.63. So we are asking the board to make a motion to award the bids, and whether or not the board would like to award just the base bid or the bid plus the alternate. We do have enough funds in our capital improvement fund 47 to cover the entire cost of the project.
Okay. Any questions for Chris? Okay, do
I would move to approve.
Motion to approve. Trustee Atwood, second. Trustee Genrich, any discussion? Brad, did you want to say something?
Is that to include the alternate?
Yes.
Okay. And Jim says yes. Matthew?
Don't know if this is a Chris question or a Sean question. Would the crossover, if we were to look at one company doing the base portion, one company to do the alternate, is there logistical issues that the two companies can be not necessarily working against each other? I don't mean it that way, but are we going to see more efficiencies by having a single company handle both the base and alternate one?
Correct. If you had two different companies, that alternate would be more expensive than what they had in there, because one of the things would be mobilization would increase that cost. So when one company does it, they're just mobilizing once. Does that make sense? They're bringing all their equipment and materials into the site.
Okay.
If you have a second company coming in, they would have to have additional costs of that mobilization.
Okay, but the cost to the village would be exactly what's laid out here, or it would be different.
maybe Sean, and Sean could maybe answer that a little better than I, because he's dealt with this more, but my understanding is it would be different with regards to that mobilization factor of a second company coming in to do just that one part of the project, as opposed to, you know, not doing the entire thing.
Contractually, I don't think you can do that. Chris, I think what you've said is correct, other than you can't pick and choose. The alternative is to the base bid. You can't go with the base bid from one company and select the alternate from a different. Their alternate is contractually for their bid. You have to pick one contractor to do all of the work.
That's the part that wasn't clear to me, is if we could do one company for the base and one to the alternate. So thank you.
Yeah, I haven't read through the contract, but I don't think you can do that.
Right.
Okay. Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Number 20, action regarding renewal applications for licenses to sell fermented malt beverages and intoxicating liquors. Do I have a motion on this item?
Do we always annually, right?
I'm sorry, Jim?
I say historically we do these annually, like it's presented.
Yep.
Given the impact or the negative income experience right now for providers, could we do half and half? Significant enough to worry about.
Yeah, we can talk about that. One of the later items tonight, so the report on the round table and discussion on the business round table.
But this just to clarify, the licensing year is determined by the state, not us. The licensing year, the licensing period, is determined by the state.
So we are not collecting the fees at this point in time. We're just saying yes to the licenses. Correct, Debbie?
Right.
Yes, at this time you're approving the license. As of right now, the fee is as it has been by ordinance.
Yep.
But they don't pay that until the end of June when they pick up their license.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Move to approve.
Move to approve by Trustee Sampson. Do I have a second?
Okay.
Trustee Dart, any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 21, action regarding a request from the Lorelei Inc. at 1412 South Webster Avenue for a noise variance permit and to allow alcohol to be sold and served in their parking lot on September 18th, 19th, and 20th for their Oktoberfest celebration. They are going to run it Friday night from 3 to 10 p.m., Saturday noon to 10 p.m., and Sunday 10 to 4 p.m. Size of the tent, security barriers, security company, only two ways in and out. They've had many requests. They have bands playing until 11 or 12, but choose to stop the bands at 10 out of respect for the neighbors. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Atwood, do I have a second?
Second. Dart.
Trustee Dart, any discussion? Let's hope it takes place.
Great.
We have a motion to... Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We'll take items 22 through D on the consent agenda. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
We have one correction. The minutes from April 21st had a couple amendments. I think I emailed them to you. It just included adding west half to the street and utility reconstruction bonding expenditures.
Okay.
And changing the wording on the rehabilitation of St. Mary's to lateral improvements instead of survey and engineering.
Okay, so I'll accept the motion to amend it. To include the amended minutes. Is that good, Matthew?
Yes.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 23, report on Alloway Business Roundtable and opportunities to assist Alloway business owners with struggles related to the Safer at Home order. We've had two business roundtables here in Alloway, virtual meetings. We had one 2 Mondays ago, and we had one last Monday. On last Monday, we had, I think, about 16 businesses, and besides the business owners, we had Representative Stephan, Senator Coles, Congressman Gallagher, and the field director, state director for Senator Johnson's office. So we were well represented, and some of the trustees were able to join. And I'll tell you, I'm thankful to have the folks doing what they do, because we had several business owners who had specific questions and uniquenesses to their case. And one of the our four elected leaders took them under the wing and said, give my office a call. Senator Cole did that. Stephan did that. They all did it, saying, get a hold of my office. We can help you walk through that. And, you know, there isn't necessarily a lot we can do to help our businesses from a financial perspective. We're in much the same boat, but there are resources out there for them, resources that we don't have direct connection with. So to have our congressmen and our state leaders and our senator's office on board helping out, I'll tell you, I think it really made people feel good, or at least as good as they could at this point in time. Some of the comments that were made from the business owners, they want to be treated like adults. A, they want to get back to work. They want to be able to open their doors. They want to be able to open their doors safely as to contain and spread and to help us get back to as normal life as possible. But one business owner said, please treat us like adults. Let us open our businesses. Let us do it in a responsible way and protect the public, but yet give ourselves a livelihood. That was from Doug Meekle of Doug Take Five. And then we heard from the Lorelei. The Lorelei's been in business for 65 years or 64 years. And they're doing the best they can with their family members. They can't bring on staff because they don't have enough money to do it. So they were asking for our help. And some of the help they're looking for, they're going to be incurring a lot of fees this time of year. So their state license to operate, liquor license from us, they're going to be incurring a lot of fees, and they're just looking for any help they can get, because when they open, they're going to have to start paying people. And hopefully they will open. That is the goal. Anything else that anyone else who's on the call, anything you'd want to share based on that?
Just a little bit of a follow-up. From that discussion we had, the Economic Development Committee
had a bit of a discussion on this past Friday, and their recommendation would be to go to the state minimum on liquor license for the 2020-2021 licensing year.
Okay. I know some other municipalities are doing that. The state minimum is $50.
Correct.
And our liquor license fee is $500.
Correct.
So that's about $6,000 in revenue that we wouldn't get, but that would be putting money in the pockets of our business owners. That's one opportunity. From a financial perspective, I don't know what else we can. We had, well, you know what? I am going to, can I have a motion? I'll make a motion to suspend the rules. I'd like to invite Carrie to say anything from Paladin Club. I'm guessing maybe that's why she's on. So, do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Harris, any discussion? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Carrie, I'm going to unmute you. Let's see if you want to say something. Carrie, are you there? Carrie? Going once? Okay. Carrie, if you can hear me, but we can't hear you, if you have any questions or anything or need assistance, please get a hold of Trevor Fuller at the village, and he will take good care of you. I did get some comments from business owners saying if we have another roundtable, they'd love to participate. We got emails and texts from our representatives thanking us for having it. They said it was good. And thank you to you for everyone else who sent those. At least we can communicate. So the idea, Brad brought up an idea. This is for discussion. It's not an action item, right?
Right. We'd have to bring it back in a form of a resolution, correct, Debbie? If the change to the liquor license?
Yes, we'd have to change the fee. We'd need a resolution.
So does anyone have any thoughts on, let's just talk about that item. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
Would we want to consider not necessarily going towards the minimum, but possibly a different amount just because we'd be getting rid of a fee from now until, 14 months from now, the end of June of 21, whereas, 5 months ago, we didn't know all of this was happening. We don't know what's going to change from that time, and if we lose out on $6,000 of revenue from one angle, we still have to recover it from a different. And I'm trying to figure out the right balance of assisting the businesses that are hurting and will continue to hurt and don't have any income coming in right now with small exceptions, but putting that expected revenue that we have to maintain services onto the residents.
Do you have any?
You know, I think I would echo that. I feel the pain. I mean, everybody in some sort is kind of going through this pain. But a total reduction, how about an extension on when it's due? You know, I would agree with Trustee Harris in the sense that if we level out of $6,000 and take it out of the village revenue, it's got to come from someplace, which comes from the village resident in the form of taxes. So is that a fair compromise? I don't know. Yeah. But
how about
tax? How about just a delay in paying it?
I don't know how much a delay is going to be doing any good because they're going to have, you know, so many things I see is delayed or put off. Everything comes due at one time then.
I don't know if the way Debbie began the, where she talked about how we have to have it in, over a certain time frame, I don't know if we can delay it.
Well, it wouldn't be an extension of a licensing period. It would just be a delay of the due date, so that once these establishments are up and running and have in producing revenue again, it wouldn't hurt as bad.
Matthew had asked me about that, and my only comment was, yes, that's probably something you could do. It's just that if at some point they've been in business then for 4 months and then can't pay that, you have to go through the revocation process. You can't just take their license away. So that was my only concern.
That would make sense. I would ask, has any other, has anybody else asked for a forgiveness?
You mean other businesses in Alloway or other communities?
Other businesses in Alloway. Unfortunately, we can't do anything about the other municipalities. But in Alloway, is there anybody that's come to us that's asked to not pay it?
I haven't heard any other than, and actually, I don't think Lynn actually came out and asked, but she said it's hope in general. Right? Because
and I would be careful about volunteering it.
I don't know, Debbie, if you're able to answer this question, or if it's, I'll just throw it out there. What if we just hypothetically change the fee from the $500 to $250? Would we have the ability to, at some point down the road, if things continue to not be working in the business's favor, if we wanted to change it down to $50, Can we make a change and, in a sense, give a credit and or a refund for the fee once it's been collected? Is that feasible?
Good question. I guess if you changed it again by resolution and... I'm not really sure.
Obviously, we're not making a decision tonight.
Right.
I just popped in. I don't know if the rest of their group likes that or not, but just figured I'd throw it out there.
And that's something we can think about and put on for discussion again at the next meeting. Like I said, the fees are not due till they pick up their license at the end of June.
And to Trustee Atwood's point, about has anyone asked, can you do it on a case-by-case basis? So if someone does have a need and they come to us and they have a demonstrated need, I don't know. Can the TIF district do anything to help in terms of helping
businesses? Just those within the TIF district. Yeah, I mean, you can go a half mile outside, but that doesn't capture, you know, anything around the Green Avenue area, Riverside Drive south of 172.
Okay.
And once again, I think we're looking for a source of income to offset something that hasn't been asked. I think it's a slippery slope to go into. Don't get me wrong, I want to help too, but if we're not being asked, I don't know why we'd be considerate.
If we're talking about having dollars knocked off the liquor license fee, I think everybody's has been asked, haven't they? All the other municipalities, I think the Tavern League has put that out there to its members. I did have the folks in the pump room the other night talk about it when I went in to pick up my hamburger, that they asked about the liquor licenses. Are we going to get a break on that? I don't remember if they were talking about, you know, quote unquote, a refund for this year or for next year. But so haven't DePere and some of the other municipalities said that they were lowering their liquor license fees? I thought they already did that.
Yeah, there's a lot of communities. Oh, go ahead, Debbie.
A couple of them have reduced it from to the minimum 50. One gave a four-month rebate. One is doing nothing, and four of the other ones have it on their agenda for this month for discussion.
Okay. I am sympathetic, or I it resonates with me what Rob and Matthew Harris said. 14 months is a long time. This thing is changing so fast, and really, who knows? 3 months, 6 months, 9 months from now, the bars might be crowded with people because people found out they can't live without bars. I happen to think people will have found another. They don't find out they don't have to go out every night. It could be either way. But in any event, if it does come roaring back, my question would be, could we pick 250, but say we're only going to require $50 up front, and we'll revisit and deal with the balance further along into this thing? Or does that not pass muster about what's required for payments for liquor license on a statutory basis? Maybe statutory is whatever this board does.
I think Debbie brought up a good point. You know, we can bring it back for additional discussion, and we can look at some of those potential alternatives.
Yeah, I think, does anyone else want to share with staff your feelings on this? Any ideas you might have? Okay, why don't you guys take all that input and see what you come up with?
Sounds wonderful.
Okay, thank you. Is Mike on the phone?
He is not. He has nothing to report on.
Okay. We don't have any nuisance properties. Number 25. Report discussion regarding zoning code project next steps. Trevor.
Yes, I'll just keep this brief, but I just wanted to give you guys an update of where we're at. We do have a final draft of the zoning code ready to be adopted. However, and we brought this to the Planning Commission last week, and the sentiment there and the sentiment among staff is to hold off on adopting that just because it's been such a long process. We want as much public input as possible. And obviously, we can't, during this time, get as much public input as we would like. So our option, we're going to throw it onto the website so people can review the final draft form. And then we'll revisit it in June.
Okay, so that's just a report, right?
Correct.
Thank you. I'm looking for a spreadsheet. Now, Brad, did you want to see that now?
Yeah, because that's the next item.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you, Trevor. We will move on to 26, update on expenditures and lost revenues due to COVID-19. Let's see if I can do this. Okay, do you folks see the spreadsheet?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, I'm a wizard.
Good job.
I'm a wizard. Okay.
I'll go ahead and start. Julie put this together. We have been tracking the recreational elections and anything else associated with the change in how the village is operating currently. And this is just to give you an idea of where we're at currently. We're at roughly a $22,500 additional expenses incurred or losses. No, those are totally, yeah, that'd be losses too. And are projected for the year of a total of $79,000. So kind of going back to some of the questions that where are we? What are we going to look like? How are we going to cover some of these expenses? And we did throw the liquor license in there in the event that were to be something that is decided to do. Now, what we've been doing is obviously tracking everything. We've got a FEMA account for potential reimbursements. At this point, lost revenue is not included in those programs. So we're only looking at actual expenses that have occurred and whether or not all of these expenses will be something that we'll be able to recoup. The unemployment is an interesting one because those are our crossing guards. You know, so we've had an expense. We will have obviously an additional expense through the course of the rest of this year. Hopefully school will resume in the fall and we'll be back to having our crossing guards. But one of the things that we have been doing or have talked about is not starting our summer help at this point. To what extent do we hold off on summer help? As things progress and maybe you know, I don't want to say the softening of the social distancing, we may be able to bring in at least a couple of the summer help. But typically we have six in the park, I think two in the street and two in water. But currently we're not bringing any of those in, which then will help offset that hole that we are creating, or not we, that has been created. The elections, as you see, the projection, if it becomes a mail-in only election, that's the expense that we're going to incur. Summer camp, it's a big revenue source for the Parks Department. So that is the net loss projected in the event the summer camp does not run.
Okay, so some of these are income and some of these are expenses, right?
Correct.
So for mail-in campaign, it will cost us $23,000 more to execute that election.
We're guessing roughly. Am I wrong on that number, Debbie? I hope it's a guess.
Oh, it's for postage. And,
yep. So we just wanted to give you an idea of what we're looking at as far as lost revenue and additional expenses that we're incurring.
Okay. So the net is $57,000, right? 79 minus 22. So what current is and projected?
Correct.
Okay.
Julie, is there anything else you would?
I think that's what we would, I think that's.
This is what we would end up with, 79.
It's an additional 57.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Julie, is there anything else that I'm missing that you and I have been talking about?
Julie, let me find her. Julie B. shows that she's not on mute. 2800. Let's see this one.
I think she was the 2800 number, but
Julie. Julie, are you here?
The current column is what's known right now. And then when we project that, it is projected for the year at $79,000. Either it's a combination of lost revenues and additional expenses. We have been talking about some, you know, like Brad said, possibly holding off on some of the summer help, but there's some other things we kind of got to sit down and put our heads together and look at some other savings, perhaps, to offset this anticipated expense.
And how much do we see getting from the state?
Actually, it'd be a federal reimbursement. I believe is it 75%, Brad?
Correct.
Yeah, so it's going to be 75% of, like, those COVID-19 expenses, we're hoping. None of the lost revenues currently, but any additional expenses will fit in there. You know, I don't know if they'll take the unemployment claims and some of these additional election expenses, too.
Okay. How about the monies being $2 billion or trillion or whatever it was that was sent to states to be allocated by population?
We haven't seen anything additional yet, because that was my comment immediately, was how do we get our hands on some of that money?
Correct.
Okay, well, based on the business roundtable last week, I think we can ask, so that'd be Stephen Cole's question, right?
Yep.
You know, one of the things that Julie and I have been talking about, it's not necessarily this year, but it's the 2021-2022 budgets that are going to be impacted. And, you know, what we're doing right now, Julie and I had a call with Greg Johnson from Ehlers. We ran some projections for bonding for 2021 and doing some refinancing. Because we need to continue doing some of our projects, but how much can we afford to do?
Mm-hmm.
We're fortunate to be able to call one of our bonds, the 2011 bond, and it looks like there could be a substantial savings or more of a break even if we were to do our projects that are currently on the books. So those are some of the things that we're still working through.
And so outside of the spreadsheet we're looking at, how do you anticipate this whole thing impacting our budget for next year? What items will be impacted?
The concern that we keep hearing is the state might cut into our shared revenue because they're going to have to try to balance their budget. Shared revenue and general transportation aids are another thing. You know, they're not going to be building the fund with their gas taxes. And kind of a, perhaps an easy grab there.
Okay. And how much do we get in terms of shared revenue? 300
or something?
Ballpark.
372?
Yep.
$372,000.
Okay. Yeah, shared revenue. You know, expenditure restraint kind of goes hand in hand with that. That's $102,000. Basically, any of the state aids we're getting could be subject to little tweaking.
Okay. Does it make sense for us to list our concerns about future revenue and put together a resolution to send to the governor and our state legislators?
I think the League of Municipalities is going to be working on some of that verbiage.
Okay.
Twice a week they do Zoom meetings, and I think you all probably get that invitation.
Yeah.
I typically do the Friday one at 9 o'clock.
Okay, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel if they're going to go through.
No.
That's important.
Correct.
Okay.
But we wanted to give you the 10,000 foot view. And we're, you know, we're just keeping a close eye on it and trying to watch wherever we can. You know, there's some of the additional expenses that we're going to be coming up with, which is listed in here, the plexiglass and stuff, are changes that need to take place at the Village Hall, because the expectation of not only staff but of the general public coming into the building is going to be different. Sanitation stations as you're walking in, a mass cleaning of the building before we open back up to the public. Then we'll have another one after the election. So, you know, it's a change.
Okay. Okay, cool. Any other questions, anyone?
I do. I have a question for Debbie, and it's about that big election cost. And you and I were shooting the breeze a couple days after the spring election, and you talked about it, that if they do go to a true mail-in election as opposed to the way you do it now with requesting absentee, is people really got to purge or put a lot of staff time into their voter rolls and their mailing lists, and is that 28,000 figure, does that reflect the amount of work and staff time you would have to find to do that, or is that not in there?
That's not in there, and I'm not sure if the state will send out some type of postcards to clean up our voter records, or if they will agree to purge anybody that hasn't voted in 4 years. I think they're still working on that. So no, that figure is just the cost of postage and envelopes, things like that, to mail out a ballot to every resident.
Okay. Thank you.
One thing I guess this kind of goes on, along with COVID-19, that you folks haven't heard, in terms of opening up, Representative Stephan sent a request to the governor to allow municipalities the authority to allow their or to suspend the conditional use, basically to allow restaurants to open and use their outdoor areas traditionally not used for eating and dining, to allow them to do that so that people can eat outside, you can get the same amount of people as you might get inside, and just spread people out. So I don't know that he's heard anything, but that's a request he made of the governor. Okie dokie. Item number 27. Do we have any future agenda items? Hearing none. We will... okay. Hearing none, we will move on to item number 28, adjournment. Is there anyone who would like to make a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. I thank you all very much. To all the mothers and your mothers, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.